Well, as you rightly said, I was born in Punjab a long, long time ago, I think. But I was about 2 when we came to East Africa, Nairobi to be precise. And even there, actually, we had a mixture of various set of people from various parts of India. For example, Punjabis, Gujaratis, Muslims, and so on, really. And even at that time, it was very closely knit community, and everything that we did within the community was a kind of combined effort, whether it's a marriage ceremony or any other sort of ritual or whatever. We always sort of got together and carried it out sort of as one individuals really, that it concerned all the sort of communities that were there. Mm-hmm. And as far as the arts and various other sort of festivals, including drama, theater, or, well, to a certain extent, some film work which carried on from the very early days in East Africa, was as a combined effort within the various community and so on, really. I didn't sort of get into these things till about I was 13, and that happened simply because that when my father got transferred to one of the remote places in Kenya, on the sort of foothills of Mount Kenya, in a place called Nanyuki, we didn't have any sort of high school where I was at that time, and I was sort of sent to the Duke of Gloucester School, Nairobi, and I was all alone, the parents were away, and I didn't know what to do with myself. And as I said, I was 13 at that time, and very crucial age for a young man, and the loneliness could possibly get to you. And I was in two minds at what to do with my spare time. And certainly I thought, well, maybe I could possibly start writing. I don't know where they came from, and I can only put it down to the experience that my father had. Because in a place like Kisumu, for example, he used to be, he used to be a ticket collector in the box office at one of the local cinema houses in Kisumu. And we as kids really visited the cinema hall, really, during the evenings and over the weekends and so on. So that was my, perhaps, first kind of experience with the Indian film at that time. But even then, I sort of didn't realize that I would probably get into films or whatever, or any other forms of art, really. Till I came to, as I said, Nairobi, Duke of Gloucester School. And I then sort of started writing for the kids' program on cable and wireless, which used to be a local radio station at that time. And after writing those short stories for the radio, one of the presenters of the program really asked me if I could be good enough to come over to the radio station and read the stories myself rather than the presenters sort of reading them. And I said, well, I haven't really faced a microphone ever before, and I'm very, very nervous, to be quite honest, facing a microphone. Even today, I hate sort of being in front of the camera. I love to be at the back of the camera, ready to be. I know that I'm really sort of in charge of the whole thing here. I'm just talking to you. Somebody else is in charge. And so I did that for a little while. And as the sort of days went by, obviously my interest grew more and more towards writing. Till one fine day when my father sort of came to visit me in Nairobi, and I wasn't really paying much attention towards my studies, and said, listen, son, nobody in our family was a Marasi ever before. You understand the word Marasi?
Absolutely.
And he said, if you really want to be a good Marasi, then I'll get you an air ticket. You better go to London, join a good sort of university or whatever, get yourself good qualifications, and then you become a good Marasi. So I haven't really forgotten his words. He obviously bought me a ticket to London. I came over. And And at that time, I had heard the name of the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art. But being a shy person, as I always was, I wasn't very good at communicating, even today, maybe, perhaps. As I said, I'm very shy. And I tried to get into RADA at that time, and we are talking about sort of late 50s, early kind of 60s. Mm. And I got in to see Mr. John Fernald, who used to be the principal at that time. And I was auditioned, and I failed my first audition. I failed my second audition. I couldn't get into the drama classes. And I failed my third audition as well. Till one fine day he said, well, listen, Harbhajan, you've been coming to us for the past three times now, and I would advise you to take some speech or elocution lessons, and here's an address, Gwency, this particular lady, and then come back to us, and then we'll probably see what we can do for you. I got in the fourth time, was very lucky, and as a luck would have it, it didn't take long for me to realize that I wouldn't perhaps become another Sir Lawrence or Sir John Gielgud or whatever. So I gave up the acting bit, and then I sort of got into the technical side of the stage or the theater, and joined the stage management classes over there. And now we are talking about 1962, I think. And then the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art didn't have any drama direction courses at that time. Mm. But I was very keen actually to pursue this career. And I went to see John Fernald and said, John, I'm very keen actually to carry on here. But I do want to do a director's course. And he said, but we don't have any director's course at the moment. What we can possibly do is to ask you to be an assistant to some of the directors working for the Academy at that time, who would guide you through, you can pick up the various set of experiences with the directors and so on. So he asked me to sit in with people like Eve Shapiro, Alan Pollock, and a wonderful director in Miro Sperber. And as a final graduation piece, I picked up Samuel Beckett's Endgame. Why I picked up Endgame, I don't know, but after reading Endgame, I thought, well, here is something that I really would like to do. And after having studied the play a few times, I realized that what it involved as far as casting is concerned. And what, at that time, I picked people like John Foge, Mona Hammond, and so on, who came from various communities, for example, or for racial backgrounds, really. And for the second important part, I picked up an American Negro boy, American African, really, in today's term. And when I first read Mr. Beckett's stage directions, that Carve's face is sort of kind of reddish and so on, really, I began to think that how am I going to do justice to the play? Because the characters, as described Mr. Beckett, aren't what I'm going to sort of be doing. So I was very naive at that time, but I gathered my courage and wrote to Samuel Beckett through one of his publishers of here, Samuel French. And after a couple of weeks, I had a very nice letter from Samuel Beckett saying that if I were you, I really wouldn't worry about those stage directions, so long as the artists or the characters portraying those characters can possibly portray the meaning and the text of the play, I'll be very happy. So I wrote back thanking him, and of course I consulted John Fernand on that, that this is what he has written. And he said, well, please go ahead, if that's your choice, to cast one Irish, one Chinese, and one sort of African, go ahead and do it. So I thanked Samuel Beckett, And he said, oh, by the way, I'm also coming down to London because one of the companies in London, that's the Royal Shakespeare Company, has agreed to put this production at the Royal Shakespeare Company in Aldwych. So it would be very convenient for me, really, to come to you at RADA and see if I can supervise the productions as well. So I was thrilled, actually, that I'm going to be sitting by the side of Samuel Beckett, really, overlooking the procedures and so on. And as a luck would have it, as we went into the production, Mr. Beckett somehow couldn't spare time, and he again wrote back saying that, I'm terribly sorry I can't be there in London on such and such days, but I've asked my dear friend Jack McGowan to come in to sit by your side, and he would obviously sort of guide you through and maybe report back to me. And I'll probably be there on your final performance day. So that was quite good. And when the final sort of day came, obviously he couldn't make it, but Jack was there. And the hall downstairs, the little theatre in Edinburgh was completely packed. John Funnell was there, and so many other sort of teachers, other tutors were also there. And the production was, I think, reasonably good. I was quite happy. John Funnell was very happy. And later on, sort of, he sort of went on to describe that it was one of the best ever sort of productions he saw of that particular play. So that was the beginning of my career as a director. But as I was sort of finishing off at Royal Academy, a telephone came to the principal that the High Commissioner of India, Mr. Keval Singh at that time, wanted to see me. And I went to the India House and saw Mr. Keval Singh, and he said, we have heard about you, and I wonder if you could possibly do something for us. And he said that, Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru is coming over to London to attend the Prime Minister's conference. And we actually want to sort of produce something for an evening entertainment for him or whatever. Do you have something in mind? And at that time, I think Passage to India was in the news. And I said, well, being what the Commonwealth, countries and the people and what's going on, may I then suggest a Passage to India, which has got a mixed casting, and obviously from my last big experience of Beckett's Endgame, I was in for mixed casting the plays, actually, no matter what happened, really. And he liked the idea very much, and he said, okay, then would you get your cast from the Academy? I said, certainly, yes. The principal English-speaking characters I will get from the Academy, but as far as the other Asian characters are concerned, I will have to look for them, maybe hunt around and see if I can sort of come up with some Asian sort of actors to take part. And we managed to do the production with a mixed cast, but unfortunately, a couple of weeks before the first night, Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru passed away. That was a great blow, and the High Commissioner called me back to see him. I went to see him, and then he said, now since he is no more with us, we'd like to sort of postpone the production. And I said to him at that time, I said, if I may suggest, rather than cancelling the program, couldn't I possibly, with your permission, present the same play as a tribute to Pandit Nehru, rather than cancelling it? And he agreed the idea. And he said, fine, okay, let's do it. And hence, we did that production at the Commonwealth Institute in front of the various sort of dignitaries who was attending the Prime Minister's conference. And as a chief guest, we had the Finance Minister of India at that time, Mr. D.D. Krishnamachari, and Mrs. Srimati Indira Gandhi, who was the Minister of Information and Broadcasting at that time. So she came along. And after the performance, when she was chatting to me and she said, listen, would you like to come to India and do something for television over there? And I was sort of taken aback. I was completely surprised because I could possibly never see myself going back to India, having achieved what I did here in my sort of small sort of way. And I said, well, that's very kind of you, madam, but please give me some time to think about it. And I spoke to John Fernald, my principal at Rwanda. I said, this is what Srimati Indira Gandhi has said. And he then said, well, it's entirely up to you, but if I were you, I mean, there's a lot of things happening over here. BBC Two is just around the corner. It's starting soon, and there are going to be a lot of sort of opportunities in television world. So then again, please take your pick. And I decided to go back to India. I saw Srimati Indira Gandhi in Delhi. We became very close at that time. And I did something for Doordarshan, but I realized that wasn't what I was looking for. And I then sort of started work in the theater in Delhi. And I was very lucky, fortunate really enough, to present most of the European writers to the Indian stage. And I had a great success presenting various set of artists, including Beckett, Albee's Zoo Story, and so on, really, Look Back in Anger, of course. You name the Western sort of playwright, I've heard it, done it in Delhi.
Can I ask, interrupt at that point, in Delhi, was it one particular venue, and was it an Indian cast, or were you still looking for mixed cast?
Again, I always experimented with a mixed cast, as you will probably see from various photographs. For example, in Look Back in Anger, we had a mixed cast. We had a very dear friend of mine, Arthur Pritchard, playing one of the main characters in Look Back in Anger. Another great actor, Basant Sharma, played the other sort of leading part. But yes, again, I got my sort of European cast from various embassies, like the American embassy, British, even Swiss, and so on. And I was very lucky, actually, to find so many people interested to work with me. When we presented six characters in Search and Author, I remember going over to one of the little-known embassies over there, and we were very fortunate enough to get one or two characters from there as well. So yes, it was a mixed cast thing, which I already enjoyed doing it. And later on, while I was doing the theatre, the editor of one of the dailies over there, The Statesman, which got published from Delhi and Calcutta simultaneously, they asked me if I could possibly do some, cover the theatre and indeed the music sort of venues for them. And I said, okay, I'll be interested. And I was first of all assigned to write about 50, maybe 60 words for the paper. And that's how I sort of graduated from stage director to being a fully-fledged sort of drama and arts critic of The Statesman. And come 1967, of course, I had a letter from my father in Nairobi saying that, son, I think you're growing up a bit now, and I think it would be a good idea if you came back to Nairobi and would like to see you get married. And of course, I sort of went back to sort of Nairobi with that view. But as I got into Nairobi. Soon after, there was a news sort of in the daily papers that I was there, and one of the local sort of theatre groups, the Orient Art Circle, asked me to do a passage to India for them. Again, I sort of went to various consulates, embassies, high commissioners to get my sort of European cast, and got the Asian cast from various other sources in Nairobi. And we were very lucky enough to present A Passage to India at the Kenya National Theatre with wonderful sort of results over there. I was very proud of that production over there. And I met Guillaume, who's also was attached to drama side. She had done a course here at British Council. And we met and we got married, and I thought, well, I don't think it's a good idea really to go back to India, because it was all right when I was single. I was making 100 rupees a month in Delhi, which was a lot of money at that time. But I couldn't keep a wife, actually, on that sum. And I applied to the BBC television at that time. And I got invited from Kenya to appear for an interview. I didn't get that drama director's post straight away at that time, and we're now talking about 1967. And I was completely shattered by that news, because the BBC has really shortlisted me. And I thought, well, if they have asked me to come all the way from Nairobi for this particular post, I'm sure I would be in a much better position to get that job. But I didn't. But however, those are things. And it was December 67. Guillaume was pregnant 6 or 7 months at that time. And we couldn't go back to Kenya at that time. And of course, politically, the situation in Nairobi was getting from bad to worse. And we decided to carry on and looking for a job over here. I then sort of started writing for the local newspapers, including the Times here. On various subjects of theatre and so on, really. Till one fine day, I met one of the great personalities of the documentary world, Mr. Norman Swallow, who used to be head of arts and features at the BBC Television. And that's how I got into television, as a researcher first. I researched for Norman Swallow for quite some time, and then on his initiation, when he said to me that, "Harbhajan, you're a drama man, we are the documentary filmmakers, you will be better off in plays department or in drama section." And he then sort of asked one of the managers in drama department if I could be sort of seen, or at least give me an interview. And that's how I sort of got into drama department. Then started working on various series, starting with Paul Temple, Softly Softly, Task Force, and so on, really, Troubleshooters, and Play for Today, Play of the Month, Wednesday Play, 30 Minute Theatre, you name it, and I've done it. And as the sort of time sort of went past, I started venturing out into various other departments of the BBC. And I did short stints, sort of short-term contracts in children's program, documentaries, news and features, further education, science and features, arts and features, and so on, really. So I really wanted to gain experience of all the aspects of television world, really, and I was very lucky to do so. So that was the BBC thing. Now, when I got myself involved in theatre once again, there's a young sort of writer who wasn't basically a playwright, but he wrote something very good called To Anchor a Cloud. It was a play on the life of Shah Jahan and his love for his beloved wife, Mumtaz Mahal. And And that's how, then again, we started looking for cast of the play, and I was again, once again, very lucky to cast it from various sort of communities and so on, really. And for that, in the main lead, we had Sage Alfrey and Jamila Massey playing Mumtaz Mahal. Pamela Salem, who became a very fine set of actress later on, very talented actress indeed. Dinesh Feek was there, Tariq Yunus was there, Mamoon Singh was there, Mark Zubair was there, and so on. Really. And after that production, some boys from Southall came to see me, and they said, we would be sort of very pleased if you could possibly come and help us out to guide us through our various sort of drama classes and so on, really. And I've always believed that if I have a talent and I would like to see it being spread out of it in the community and so on, rather than keeping it all to myself. Again, there is a short story going to it, actually. I remember my father once saying to me that when we first started learning a trade, nobody really showed us or taught us what to do. It all came to us through a very hard slog, really, becoming somebody's assistant for a long, long time, and then the ustad would one day say, okay, now could you possibly start off doing this and that. So I was in a very lucky sort of situation at that time. I had a full-time job at the BBC television. I was earning quite a bit at that time. And I had some time on my hands, so I said, well, okay, fair enough. So I started going to Southall every Sunday to take those drama classes and so on. And we had about 15 to 20 sort of kids working for us at that time. And that's a new phase, actually, of bringing in and working for the youths of Southall. Again, if I may say so, that the boys and indeed girls came from Punjab, various racial groups, Hindus, Muslims, the untouchables, and including intouchables, really, and so on, really. So I was very lucky, really, to work with them, and we did some wonderful work as far as Southall is concerned. And the highlight of that tenure, of that period, was, of course, when the drama group won majority of the cups at one of the local sort of competitions over there. And we did Partner's Tale, T.B. Morris's play, and so on, really. We did Hathe Kakaki, An Assassination of Mahatma Gandhi, wonderful play by Lalit Sehgal, and so many other sort of small plays, really. And that's how it all started, working for the youth drama group.
So this was in 1969, this starts.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then came the 70s and so on, really, when the Asian exodus sort of started from Uganda, and various sort of people were sort of housed in military barracks all over the country. And we sort of got together and said, well, how best we can possibly provide some entertainment for those communities over there. And we started visiting them over the weekends again, started sort of presenting sort of light entertainment programs for them, and indeed some dramas as well, some dances and so on, really. And again, it was a very, very sort of fruitful experience, and I was very lucky to be part and parcel of that. And having done that, the third phase of this venture started when I sort of, together with Ravi Jain at Southall, we thought it might be a very good idea now to bring all the youth groups from all over the UK, really, to a central place like London, and view their sort of talents, really, and see what they can really present. And hence, again, what time I had. I had very little time on my hands, but I still sort of carried on visiting all those groups every sort of weekend, during the week and so on, whenever I had time. And I used to visit, for example, I would visit a group one Saturday, perhaps, and various other groups would turn up there, and I would also see them. I would see their performances, really. And then when I came back to London with a promise that I'll write to you, which I did, and said, okay, I'll be coming back to see you guys on such and such day. Please have your sort of skits, dramas, or musical events ready so that I can sort of watch them and then sort of finally sort of make comments on those. And it went on for quite some time, in fact, throughout the year. And I used to shortlist about three groups from each area, like, for example, Loughborough, Leicester, and so on, really. And out of those three shortlisted groups, I would pick just one. And ultimately, for the final performance, I would have one group from Leicester, one group from Loughborough, one group from Manchester, Glasgow, so on, and on, making a total of about 20, 21 groups individually. And that happened in the mid-70s, I believe, and went on. And I was sort of, the other venue, of course, was the Royal Albert Hall, where we had, I think, about 25 groups. The house at Royal Albert Hall was absolutely chock-a-block, packed completely. No standing place, really. And that was really the climax of my activities as far as the youth festivals were concerned.
How did that first one come about, the 1975 one? I mean, I know you were already visiting, but there must have been a lot of sort of time went in to get that together.
Yeah, sure. As I said, I mean, it took me about a year really to get the groups to London, really. And poor Ravi Jain worked very hard in the background to get the necessary funds, because we did have any funds, to be quite honest. And Ravi sort of begged, borrowed us. He managed to somehow raise some funds for us to really to hire places like Corbett Institute, Albert Hall, South Bank, and so on, really. And I think a great credit goes to Ravi Jain for getting the funds necessary. I obviously never had a penny actually given to me, either for travelling or for my work, because I loved doing that. As I said to you earlier, I was earning enough from BBC TV, and it was a community work. I loved doing that. And seeing the Punjabis and the other set of communities coming together, Gujaratis, Muslims, and so on, and I found a lot of sort of satisfaction doing that.
What about the aftermath from 1975? I mean, you have this very big event that occurs. What followed from there? Did you continue doing work with them, or did you?
Well, 75 was
the big.
Not the big. I think the yes, it was one of the big things for me. But I think the Albert Hall was one of the biggest, which happened in 1976, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean that. As I said, I mean, that had about 25 groups taking part.
And it continues then until about 85, doesn't it?
Yes, it continued into sort of mid 80s and so on, really. Mm-hmm. When Dominic first approached me and he said, "You are one of the pioneers as far as the Asian drama is concerned." I'm flattered if he said that. Naseem Khan, who was one of the journalists and drama critic at that time, she also sort of described me as one of the pioneers of Asian drama in England. But, as I said, I did that work not because that I want myself to be labelled as a pioneer worker in an Asian field of drama or whatever. I simply loved doing it, and I loved working with various communities and I've been doing that right from the age of 13. I've casted my plays or whatever as a mixed cast, people from various communities and so on, really. And what I did with the youths of Saltho, I think it was one of the best times of my life. I really enjoyed doing that.
And that changed, indeed.